All right. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We ask that we'd see you for who you are, Lord. Again, we just want to ask your blessing. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom as we open your words, Father. Help us hear them. Help us see you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Lord willing, after we finish here, we'll go to McDowell. We've got a baptism. Three young people have asked to be baptized, so we'll go with them this evening or this afternoon, just right after church. We'll head down there. All right, Luke chapter 22. I'm going to begin in verse 24. And there arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Here these disciples were still caught up in who's going to be the greatest. This is one of the things that we all have in us, the whole desire to be the greatest. And here the disciples just showing themselves to be men. And that is, wanting to know who's the highest, who was the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant." Here Jesus is just trying to give us a picture of what it really means to be the greatest, what it really means to be a leader. We see it all around us, the people who come in leadership right away want to be the Lord over anyone above them. In other words, they give out their commands, and they give out their rules, and they give out their laws, and you're expected to follow them and obey them. We see that in everywhere. See it in the world today. Someone gets a little bit of power, and right away they begin to try to control and take over every aspect of your life. Sad thing is not just in the world. That's the way it is in churches. That the people who fancy themselves leaders, they want to be the ones that control other people. And they think that's what a leader is in the church. But that is just as much a worldly leader as anything that there is. Someone who, they give people advice, and if they don't listen to them, they get offended at their authority that someone would dare not listen to them, and they go after them. But that's not the way it is. Christ, when he was here, he told his truth. He spoke his truth. But then he gave everyone, every individual, the opportunity to choose whether they would follow it or not. And if they didn't, like an example they give of Elisha, he said, "What have I to do with you?" Whenever Elijah told him to follow him, he right away said, "Wait a minute, I've got to go do something. I've got to..." Elijah just said, "Well, go do whatever you need to do if you want to. That's up to you, but I'm going on." And so and that's the way Jesus is. He said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Follow me or I'll be mad at you. Follow me or I'll punish you." He just said, "Follow me." And this is how Jesus is, and that's how the kingdom of God is, and that's what he's trying to show us, and that's what I'm trying to, we're trying to see who God is here. This is how God is. He's not a tyrant just demanding obedience. He wants us to have a will to choose him. And one of the things, one of the dangers of young people in church, growing up in church and in good situations and holy situations, the danger is they live in such a sterile way that there's no life there. It may be flawless, but it's sterile. Just the thing about something that's sterile is there's nothing living in it. You know, there's no good or there's no bad, but there's no good either. There's no bad bacteria that can cause disease, but there's no good in it either. It's just sterile. And the danger a lot of times is that we can just be sterile. We might not be bad, but with the absence of bad, with the absence of a choice for bad, there could be no good. And that's what we have to try to walk that line of training our children, not just to be trained as zombies. I mean, Jesus, when he created the world, could have created a bunch of robots that had no choice, but he didn't create them that way. He created us with a choice. And that choice was to be able to choose good and evil. That sometimes we look at that as the temptation in the Garden of Eden, that God was just trying to test us and God was trying to give man the opportunity for good. We see it as he was just trying to make us be bad. But if he wouldn't have put that temptation there for them, if he wouldn't have allowed that opportunity for choice in the Garden of Eden, there would have never been any opportunity for good or righteousness. It would only be sterile. But he put that there. And like I said, a lot of times we see it and we think of it, well, God just put it there to bring sin into the world and to make us bad. No, he put it there for man to have the opportunity to choose good. And that's the way he is. That's who he is. For who is greater than the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. I just read that this morning and I thought about that. And here he went through all this as who's the greatest among us. And Jesus put in there, but you are ones who have stood by me in my trials. You're the ones who've been faithful in my trials, he said. And that just stood out to me. He goes on, transitions from here. But in the middle of there, he just says, you've stood by me. And that's all he wants us to do, is to stand by him. And how hard it is to stand by. You know, it's easy whenever things are good, things are going great, to be a friend to someone. But whenever they're having it hard and everything's turning against them, the whole world is turned upside down on them. And then for you to stick with them right through that. That's the kind of person that God is looking for. That tests us to see who we really are. You know, we have friends, we have people among us, you know, and sometimes they have troubles. Sometimes they have struggles. Sometimes they have trials. Sometimes it just looks like we ought to just give up on them because they have so much many problems. You are those who stood with me in my trials. You know, I imagine these people with Jesus walking with him, seeing all the things going on, all the controversy. They could have just started blaming him for all these problems and turned against him, sided with his enemies. But they didn't. They stayed with him. They saw that they were faithful. They were loyal. And they were dedicated. And I think that is something that's a lot of time missing. We just kind of flow with the wind, going here or there. Things are up, we kind of go that way. And when things are down, we just kind of go the other way. But someone who's dedicated, dependable, loyal, Those are good qualities we don't hear a lot about anymore. The world just kind of goes with the wind. They change their ideas every day. And you just kind of flow with the crowd. If the crowd, that's what goes on. If the crowd sees this is bad, that's bad. If the crowd sees this is good, that's good. That's not. Good is good and right is right all the time. And to be loyal and to be dedicated to that higher thing than just what the crowd is going. I appreciated that when I read it, that you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And here's what I wanted to get to. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. You know, Cade brought out that, you know, sometimes when hard times come, we want to blame God whenever things are bad. And just like what we talked about in the beginning, the first thought we have is God set that up for us to fail. But God set the beginning, from the very beginning, not up to fail, but for us to do good and prosper. And here, just like Cade brought out, look, who was behind the question about Job? Who was it that came to God and said, let me have him. Let me have him. Let me have him. You've done nothing but good for him. You let me have him a while and we'll see who he loves and who he decides. Who is the instigator of evil here? It's Satan. Who is the instigator of all that is bad in the world? It's Satan. I don't know how many times people, the first thing that goes wrong in their lives, who do they blame for it? It's God. I hate God. Look what he did to me. It's not God's fault. God is good. And that's just all there is to it. God is good. And because we have allowed Satan so much power and control in this world, he has an element of power and control in this world. You know, when we look at the world today, you can see all the bad things going on. It's not God's fault. It's Satan's fault. Here, Peter was questioning about who is greatest in this world. Who is greatest in your kingdom? And he goes through and talks about that. And then he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Why did he point Satan out? Why did he ask for permission to sift Simon like wheat? Why did he have to ask permission so that he could try Simon? Because Simon was trying his kingdom. He was going against the kingdom of this world. He was fighting against the kingdom. And so Satan asked permission so that he could be tried. You know, if we just want to be sterile, sit back and just flow along, no good, no evil, just appear good, but sterile, Satan won't bother you at all. But if there's a chance or there's an opportunity for you to do what's right, for you to actually take hold of the good and live for the good, you're going to get Satan's attention. You know, in Acts it talks about the Pharisees, or they went to cast out a demon out of a man, and they said, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus." And the demons said that they knew Paul, but who are you? They knew who he was, because he had gotten on their radar, because he actually wanted to rise above the sterile religion. He wanted to rise above that and become faithful to Jesus. He wanted to be one who stood by him in his trials. He wanted to be one who was a friend to Jesus. Not just religious, but someone who actually wanted to do something for God and be a part of him, be accounted as one of his. That's what it means to be, to acknowledge him. That's what it means to confess him, is to be aligned with him. Not just in a sterile religious way, but actually in your heart. And Satan can see that. And so whenever troubles come your way, don't do like the world does and begin to blame God. Blame God for all that's wrong in your life. Remember who's the instigator behind all of this. You know, we spend most of our lives trying to shelter ourselves from any trouble. We try to make it easy for ourselves, and we try to make it good on ourselves. We try to protect ourselves from anything bad being able to happen. The thing about it is Satan is much more powerful than all our plans. Don't trust in our plans for safety. What that will do is produce a sterileness in us. Trust in God. I don't know how many times God gets the blame for all that's bad in the world. Satan has done a wonderful job of public relations for himself and a smear campaign on God in our minds and in our hearts. That shows the power that he has over us, for him to be able to sway us so easily. That shows the fight. That shows that he's real, that he's there. But just know that God is good. And like the song we sang, whatever we're going through, you know, it may seem like nobody else cares. It may seem like nobody else even knows what we go through. But Jesus cares. Jesus knows. He knows what's going on. We don't have to make everyone else know. Just find your comfort in him and your rest in him. It's a blessing that God is good, and that whatever he allows our way, it's not because he wants to see us suffer or hurt. He wants to give us the opportunity to trust him no matter what. He wants to give us the opportunity to choose what's unchoosable, to choose the good. You know, the good is just lost in all of this. All we see is the bad. But he's given us the opportunity, because Satan wants to test us and try us and see us fail, see us get mad at God, see us blame God for all of these things. It's our opportunity to stick with God in all of these things. My grandma one time, it's a real blessing to me that she said that she had a son that was killed in a car accident. And she just said one day, she said, it was several years before I could thank God for allowing that to happen. She got to the place where she could thank God for that tragedy that happened in her life. That said something to me. You know, whatever happens to us, the Bible says, praise God in all things. Give God thanks and glory and praise in all things. You know, it might sound kind of cruel and harsh, or uncaring and heartless, but we can hurt. We can be brokenhearted. We can feel pain and still thank God for it, because He's in control of all these things. He is good, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter how much evidence is against that. Stacked up, we just build cases. You know, one of the biggest things in this world is people will begin to build a case in their mind against someone and just turn them into an absolute monster in their own mind. And we do the same thing with God. And that's what the world has done with God. That's what Satan has provoked, promoted in the world, for people to think about God in that way. They've turned Him into a monster. And I think that's our biggest mission in this world. That's what Jesus came into this world, to show the world who God really was. He wasn't a monster. He was good. And all the things that Satan had said about Him were just a pack of lies. And He's still trying to promote that pack of lies today. We see, you know, we watch the news and things, and you just see things, and how sometimes they just lie to you right in front of your face, and you think, how could anybody even believe that? They can do that about some person that's just trying to do good in this world. How much more is the devil going to be doing the same thing in our minds about God? That's all He's about. And all Jesus wants us to do here at the greatest in the kingdom of God: you are those who have stood by Me in My trials, He said. He didn't say, you'll never be without fault. He didn't say, you'll never be without failure. Here the disciples, even they were disputing on themselves. Who's the best in the camp? Who's the biggest in the kingdom of God? Who's going to get the most prizes? And Jesus said, you got it wrong. You're thinking upside down. You're those who have stood by Me in My trials. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
It's interesting to me that the next verse is, Jesus said, but I pray for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. He knows that things that trials we go through will give us the ability to help someone else. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Brother Chris's assignment for this week was to practice this week, do something to be a light to somebody and tell what you did. And this week I just tried to be happy and be a light just to the people around me, at customers, parts delivery people or whatever, just have a nice word and a smile on my face no matter what.
This week I tried to be a light by having a good attitude and a good outlook on life, and to just be willing to go the extra mile.
This week I tried to be a light by having a good attitude at work and working hard and just
Yeah, just having a good attitude.
This week, we had this boy. He's 13. His name's Francisco, but I call him Frankie, just kind of for short. But his dad wanted him to come, you know, work at our shop some, or, you know, just to learn different things about, because he's really interested in trucks and cars. And so he came, yesterday was his first day there, and he's kind of a shy guy, and I just, you know, tried to encourage him to ask, you know, feel free to ask as many questions as he wanted, because I know it's really stressful when, you know, you feel like you're kind of reluctant to ask questions if you feel like you'll, I just wanted to give him the impression that ask any questions, even if it's really obvious to us, just ask any question and, you know, we'll answer it, because that's how you build confidence to work. So
this week I had a chance to help a neighbor with a little project, and I tried to just be a light by just there, glad to do it and help him out, and just have a good attitude, and so he was happy that I was able to help him out. So
I tried to be a light to people this week by just be ready to go the extra mile and help them out.
This week one of my sisters needed help and put down what I was doing cheerfully, and I helped her.
This week I focused on the projects that other people were doing rather than just doing my own projects.
So this week I've been trying to focus on going the extra mile, whether I'm busy with something or not. I think I was on my way to work Tuesday morning, and I saw somebody on the side of the road that had a blowout. I really didn't want to stop and help them, and it was just cold, and I didn't really feel like getting out and helping them out, but I stopped to help them, and afterwards, I was just glad I stopped, because I was just kind of thinking, what if that had been me, you know, and I didn't have what I needed to fix a tire or whatever, and, you know, nobody stopped to help me. You know, how would that make me feel? It's just the satisfaction of just helping someone get along with their day. It just makes your day better.
Good morning, everyone. I want to start out in Job chapter 1. We all know the story of Job. Verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Asitus whose name was Job. And that man was true, blameless, righteous, and God-fearing. And he abstained from every evil thing. Now he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his cattle consisted of 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys in the pasture. Moreover, he possessed a very large number of house servants. His works were also great on the earth, and that man was the most noble of all men of the East." Skip down to verse 6, and it says, "Then as it so happened one day that, behold, the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and the devil also came with them. And the Lord said to the devil, 'Where did you come from?' And the devil answered and said, 'I came here after going about the earth and walking around under heaven.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Have you yet considered my servant Job, since there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, true, and God-fearing man, and one who abstains from every evil thing?'" And I was just thinking how, you know, sometimes when bad things happen in our life, you know, we think, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, I'm a good person. You know, why does God let these bad things happen in my life? And I just, you know, it's encouraging to me to think that sometimes when we have troubles, maybe God is sending us struggles, because he knows we can handle them. And just thinking what a great thing that would be for God to think us a worthy opponent of Satan, to say, Satan, I know that, you know, God said, I know that Job's my servant, you know. I was just thinking, made me think what a great thing that would be if God could just say to the devil, you know, go do your worst, you know. I know that he's my servant, you know, and I just want to challenge us to be a worthy enemy of Satan. You know, and when bad things happen in our life, you know, not to think, why is God letting this happen to me, but to think, you know, this is an opportunity for me to be a light, and maybe, you know, God's letting this bad thing happen to me because he knows I can handle it. But that was kind of all I had this morning. I just wanted to challenge us to be a worthy opponent to Satan. Any prayer requests? Okay. Pray for Grandma Leona, too. She's, does she have a mini stroke? She's in the hospital. I think maybe they're going to send her home tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come before you this morning and just thank you for all your many blessings, and thank you for the pretty fall weather we've been having, and thank you for allowing us all to gather here. Just ask that you be with those among us that aren't feeling well, or just lay your hand on them, bless them, heal them if it's your will. Just help us to have ears to hear this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
For the boys' lesson, I was wanting them to take something out of David's sermon that he's going to be doing today and practice that this week and share it with us. So whatever you find in David's sermon that is useful for you, practice it and share it.
Oh, Does he?